Blog Talk Radio.
Oh boy, what's going on, folks? This is Lee for Lil Keys Real Talk. Oh man, we got a show for y'all tonight. We got a lot to talk about. It's gonna be an exciting weekend coming up. Actually, a couple of exciting weekends coming up in the near future. But you know, as always, got to introduce my co-host. What's going on, Keys? How you doing today, bro?
At Keys Real Talk, I'm in the building. Follow me on Instagram, TikTok, at Lee and Keys RT on Twitter. Tweet us. Let us know what you think. Give us your hottest take ever. Tell us your trash UFC opinions that we don't give a damn about. No, I'm just playing. Hit us up, though. I'm out here.
Yeah, so, hey, Keys, I don't know. You probably noticed, but you didn't say nothing. Last weekend, leading up to this weekend's fights, somebody has returned and been very active on social media. Seem like they're trying to hijack last weekend fights and trying to hijack this weekend's fights. Did you notice it?
Yeah, I mean, there's only a select few guys that do that, so.
Yeah, I was like, okay, all right, we back. We back to the regular scheduled program. But, yo, man, we got a lot to talk about, man. Well, let's jump into it. For last weekend, we had Jake Paul taking on Dylan Danis. Then we had KSI against Tommy Fury. I went back and watched both fights. Very underwhelming, in my opinion. Very underwhelming. But I'm going to let you go first. What was your thoughts on last weekend's main event and co-main event in the Paul and KSI fights?
So I'm going to say this, right? I'm not gonna give no space. Y'all don't get no wiggle room or nothing. Y'all get nothing. This is what it is. Dylan Danis, first of all, might have had the. Hold on, I gotta fix this. Okay, so. Dylan Danis, actually, no, I'm not going to, let's do the other one first. KSI and Tommy Fury might put on the worst boxing match that has ever happened in the history of anything. That was terrible. That was absolutely 0 out of 10, dumpster juice, garbage. Like, that was so bad. They both looked so terrible. I can't even believe that. They should have just called the fight off and just ruled it a no contest. Because the fact that either guy, a lot of these fights are going on records and stuff, like, you know, they're calling guys, you know, undefeated and, you know, they're fighting each other. But these fights are going on records, right? So when you go to take your next fight, that quote-unquote win, okay, Tommy Fury quote-unquote won that fight. I think that should be either a no contest or an L on both of their records because they look so terrible. That was a disgrace. Like, that was literally so terrible. That match was collectively the worst from where both guys were terrible. And now to make it even worse, Dylan Danis somehow stunk up the place even worse than Tommy Fury and KSI. That was the single most worst performance or attempt at a performance in the sport of boxing that probably the world will ever see. That was so terrible. And so what I want to get to is just say that shout out to Logan Paul because he was the only one out of the four of those guys that looked like he was actually boxing in there. Logan Paul was doing his thing. I'm not saying, you know, yeah, people are going to say, you know, whatever they're going to rate it, but Logan Paul was in there to fight. I didn't see any problem with that. Logan Paul beat up that guy for however many rounds it was. He beat him up every round, and Logan Paul looks like he came there to fight. I didn't have any issue with Logan Paul. But it was the other three guys who summed up the place so bad. Those are probably the three most worst boxing performances we may ever see. And Dylan Danis should never be offered a boxing fight ever again. Like, what happened? Everyone says when I reference this, they say, oh, it's not real boxing. Okay, well, you have referees in there. Are those real boxing referees or not? Because that's what I asked my boy. Because my boy, you know, my boy is more of a boxing guy. And, you know, when I was texting him during we were texting each other during the fight, and he's like, man, this isn't, like, he's like, this isn't real boxing. I'm like, well, I mean, is it a real referee? Like, where's the referee come from? Because if it's not real boxing, shouldn't the referee, like, if he is doing real fights, shouldn't the referee be acting accordingly? Why is the referee letting this be like a clinch set? Yo, you know they said that, I think Tommy Fury landed like six, like, punches in that fight. I think they said it was like six punches, and KSI landed, I think, one. What are we doing? What are we doing here? And to add to it, we got to say it. I knew it. I knew it before. I've been saying this. I don't know if I ever said it on our show, but I'm going to tell you 100 more times. This is a fact. That dude, KSI, cannot do anything with Jake Paul. I give credit to the Paul brothers because those dudes are actually training. You can see that they are actually training. Those dudes actually want to have fights, and they're not, you know, just talking at the press conference. Like, those dudes actually, when it's time to fight, those dudes fight. You got to give them that. It doesn't need to be top-notch. I'm not saying that, you know, it's top-notch, but I'm just saying that when it comes down to it, every time I've watched Jake Paul fight, he comes to fight. And the Logan Paul, when I've watched him fight, he came to fight. So you got to give him that. So, that's basically what I'm going to say on that. Those three dudes, you know, shame on all three of y'all. Y'all are terrible. I don't know how Tommy Fury that fought Jake Paul, and I thought he looked really good versus Jake Paul. I don't know how that was the same guy that fought KSI because he looked terrible. I don't know what was going on with that. That was terrible.
All right, I'm going to defend Tommy Fury right now because, number one, the way KSI fights, it made it hard for him to do anything. Every time he would land a punch, KSI would dip his head, come in, and basically make it a holding fest. And I was just like, man, this is terrible. And then his stance was unorthodox and crazy. So, you know, man, I was sitting there watching. I was like, you know, in a way, Tommy Fury, you being the boxer, you should be able to, like, probably keep him at bay and stuff like that. But when you really go back and look at it, every time they would engage and end up, my man KSI was holding him. So I think we heard more from the ref, saw more from the ref than anything. And then when the ref took the point from Tommy Fury, it was like, what is he supposed to do when every time he goes to land a punch, the guy's ducking or attempting to hold him? So that fight was terrible. That fight was terrible. And then Dylan Danis, that guy, basically, everything that he wanted happened in this fight. Basically, he became a social media darling. They said social media jumped up, like, over 700,000 followers when it was announced he was going to fight Logan Paul. Dylan Danis is not a boxer. Dylan Danis don't even have hands in MMA. So, to me, Logan Paul should have got him up out of there, you know, in that second round when he came out and he hit on like 5, 6, 7 shots. He should just got him up out of there because Dylan Danis wasn't doing anything in there that says that he was in there to fight. So, if somebody ain't willing to fight, make them fight, you know. All right, I tweeted this Stop calling out these MMA guys, man. Jake and Logan Paul. Stop calling out these MMA guys. How many of these MMA guys outside of Anderson Silva has really gave any one of them a fight, bro? Tyron Woodley did okay, but that was because he didn't throw any punches. Basically, he just survived. And then in the next fight, he got knocked the fuck out. Stop calling off these MMA guys. These guys ain't boxers, bro. It's either step up in competition or let's be done with this YouTube fighting stuff, man. It's making me mad now, bro, because that KSI and Tommy Fury made boxing a mockery. It was like, bro, what are we doing? Dog, neither one of y'all, I mean, we know Tommy Fury can box because we've seen him actually box against Jake Paul. But KSI, man, he is terrible. He don't have a real stance. He don't have any skills. Now, I have to commend Jake and Logan Paul. Every time they done stepped in the ring, they have gotten better. Every time you see them in the ring, from the first time they fought up until the next time they fought, you can see they have worked on the craft of being a boxer. And it shows. They're not making a mockery out of it. I mean, they press conferences and all that stuff. You know, they just go to fight build up and all that. But they're not in there making a mockery of boxing. And they take it seriously when they get in there. Now, they talk about Jake Paul is going to fight on December 15th. If it's Nate Diaz or another MMA guy, bro, I think I'm going to go through the roof, man. I think I'm going to go through the roof. But they are making money. They did sell out the O2 Arena. There was a lot of folks in there. But to me, the fights was trash. And I'm glad I didn't pay for it to watch it. So, look, hats off to Jake and Logan Paul. Hey, man, y'all doing y'all thing. You know, y'all definitely are making that money selling out arenas. But y'all got to come up with better opponents, bro, and stop fighting these UFC guys, man. That's all I got on that.
Funny because, you know, while you say that, you know, I'm just looking at Twitter, and I can see it's so funny because you're just saying it. And Nate Diaz is on Twitter calling out Jake Paul for a rematch.
Oh, man. I saw that, too.
He put a poster up. It almost looks like this would be the official – like, it looks like an official poster. I imagine it's just like a photo edit or something. But, yeah, it says December 15th. And I don't think anybody wants to see that. And we all want to see the real fights get made. I'm really looking forward to that. Bare knuckle. Oh, we're not talking about that. So,
we get into that next.
Yeah, because now I'm seeing that flyer, and yeah, I'm really liking that way that looks. There's another fight on there that for some reason it's not on this flyer, but and that's another good one. But we're gonna get to it. So that's what I was saying. You take Tommy Fury, it's like he couldn't, you know, he didn't really have a chance. It's like KSI just wants to, you know, basically like do a headlock or go in the clinch or whatever you want to call that thing that they do when they do that. So that's the point where if Tommy Fury is being held to where he can't show anything, that's why you hear me say, is the ref like a real ref? You know what I'm saying? Because if we're saying it's not real boxing, is it a real ref? Because, okay, this is a clown show. That KSI is not barely throwing anything, and he, you know, somehow thinks he won the fight by, you know, trying to clinch Tommy Fury for the whole fight. And so is the ref real? Because the ref should be noticing that and breaking it up and making them fight. You know what I'm saying? And I don't really like the clinching thing in boxing anyways. I'm really not a fan of that. You see guys do that. You know, you would see Floyd do that. You see a lot of these guys do it. I feel like I saw it in the Tank versus Ryan Garcia fight. you saw that and dudes holding each other. So I don't really know if that's considered a bad thing or if that deducts a point. But as much as KSI was doing it, man, the ref should have told him, like, look, you cannot hold him anymore like that. You cannot do it, like, because we're going to start deducting points every time you do it. You know, you got to have some kind of rules. You can't just have guys. And then you have Dylan Danis in the Logan Paul fight. Not only did he shoot for a takedown on Logan Paul at one point, I don't know if you saw that. This clown shot for a takedown, bro. And then at another point, he dropped to his back.
To his back.
He dropped to his back. Basically, like what you do in the cage when you're inviting a guy inviting a guy to the ground. And this is not Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So what are we, man? Yo, this guy, man. This is a guy that I really like. We've never even really given that guy any like airtime on this show. I don't think in the 6 years. I don't think we've ever really given him airtime because he's such a clown. He's really such a clown. Like, there's really nothing to say about that guy. He doesn't actually fight. To me, he's not a fighter. He's just a talker. The guy does absolutely nothing. You know what I mean? Like, him compared to, you know, we say, like, McGregor just sleeps and he doesn't fight. Like, Dylan, that guy does that. I mean, McGregor at least gets a couple fights in here and there, and he actually is competitive. This guy is a clown. He's not even doing – he's shooting for a takedown in a boxing match. And he's the loudest mouth in the room.
Yeah, man, it was really bad, man. When he shot for the takedown, bro, I was like, yeah, man, just go ahead and end this now, because things about to get crazy, and then things did get crazy. But one thing about clinching though in boxing, normally in boxing holding. It's normally like when a guy gets hurt, he normally holds to kind of like slow his opponent down. It's normally a defensive mechanism that you do, but it's not. It shouldn't be your way of fighting, because it lends to non-fighting. And the referee, only thing the referee can do to prevent it is to take a point. And to me, the referee just said after he took the point from Fury, it was like he didn't want to like take another point from another fighter. It's like, bro, KSI's holding every time. Every time he comes in, he's holding. It was like, bro, what are we doing, man? But I'll just ask you one final question on it, then we're gonna move on. Are you still into the influence of boxing, or is it starting to fade away for you?
I mean, like, I'm a fan of Jake Paul. I don't mind. Me personally, I like to watch Jake Paul fight. Obviously, I want to see, you know, we all want to see, you know, him step up his competition for sure. I just like to watch Jake Paul fight. You know, I'm probably going to watch it. You know, I'm probably going to watch no matter who he fights. I'm going to watch. But, you know, these other dudes, like KSI, I don't give a damn who he fights. Like, this was the first time that I'd seen him fight. And it was really just,
he is
there wasn't much on. Yeah, it was, I wanted to see Tommy Fury because I liked what I saw out of Tommy Fury the last time. And he just happened to be fighting him. I wanted to see Tommy Fury, and then I was interested to see Logan Paul fight. I was like, all right, like Logan Paul, I've seen his footage. Like this dude he's in the WWE too, but he takes boxing seriously. He actually trains and he actually comes to fight when he does fight. So I'm like, I want to see these two dudes. You know, these other clowns that they're fighting. I mean, it is what it is, but that's not what attracted me to that event. I mean, and it was also the combination of they're just not being – it was a light UFC, you know, couple of weeks here. So that was really just, you know, more or less the only thing on. Like, there really wasn't anything at that time. Yeah, I don't know that UFC – I think UFC main card was, like – I think it was starting around the time that event was ending, I want to say. So I turned on UFC for a little bit after that, but even then, it really wasn't a card that I was too interested in. So it just, it was kind of just a light, you know, a light weekend for fights, you know, light weekend for the fight game. And that was just, you know, they were smart with, I'll tell you this, they were smart with picking that date because it was almost like they knew that there wasn't much on. You know what I mean? There wasn't really, there was not much for boxing, actual boxing to watch, and there was not much for UFC to watch. And I want to say there was no Bellator event either. So, and I want to say there was no ONE Championship event either. So, I wouldn't be surprised to say that they picked that date very strategically, knowing that there was none of the other major fight programs that people watch would be on. And so they knew that they would get a lot of the fans that would say, like I said, oh, this is just the only thing on. Let me just throw this on. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, it's I want to watch Jake Paul fight, but most of these other clowns, I really don't give a damn.
Oh, man, you put me in a tough spot because I'm over the influence of boxing. But Jake and Logan Paul do take it seriously, bro. And it's like I feel sorry for them, but I don't feel sorry for them because if you keep trying to fight guys that aren't boxers, then you get what we saw on Saturday. So, man, you know, man, I just wish they were stepping up in competition. But do I think any real boxers will ever step in and ring with them? I would say no, because most real boxers probably don't take them seriously. So what are they supposed to do? You know what I'm saying? The only way they going to really fight real boxers is if some of these boxers are like semi-retired or, you know, haven't fought in a while. And it is what it is, man. But, you know, you got to respect their hustle, bro. They doing their thing. They definitely selling out arenas and all that good stuff. But, you know, for me, I'm just not a fan of it. But that's just me. A lot of people are. So, but moving on to Bare Knuckle. Bare Knuckle definitely announced on their Salt Lake City card. And it's headlined by, like, a bunch of UFC guys, former UFC guys, Mike Perry versus Eddie Alvarez. You got Rothwell versus Duffy. You got two females up here, Ferrer versus Rawlings. Hey, that Rawlings girl used to be a UFC fighter, didn't she? I think she used to be a UFC fighter. Then you got Adams versus Terrell. Then you got Stewart versus Davis. I haven't converted to bare knuckle fighting. But Keys, you were definitely in it, man. When you saw this, I think you was excited, man.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely excited. And there's another fight on there that I think you would like. They got Jeremy Stephens. I'm trying to think of who. I'm trying to find it because I know I tagged you on it.
They don't have it on the poster though.
Yeah, it's not on the flyer, so I don't know what's happening with that, if they just made the fight or what the deal is there. But Jeremy Stephens is fighting somebody, and that was it's really like the main event in that one that I really like. And then obviously, I mean, Ben Rothwell, that's a heavyweight fight. I mean, that's cool. I like watching Ben Rothwell fight. Last time I watched him over there, you know, he finished the guy in probably like the first 2 minutes of the
Stephens versus Jimmy Rivera.
Oh, yeah, there we go. So that was the other one I thought you would like.
Yeah, they don't have that on the poster, though. That's kind of weird.
I just couldn't believe we saw Jimmy Rivera's name, because we've been talking about him for a long time, and I remember not too long ago we were saying, whatever happened to Jimmy Rivera, and then
Jimmy Rivera.
Now he pops back up in bare knuckle fighting against Jeremy Stephens. So I couldn't have predicted that. I'll tell you that. I really could not have predicted he would come out of the woodwork and be on the bare knuckle fight.
Yeah, man, that's crazy, bro. But I'm trying to think, man, was Jimmy Rivera really like, was he really that guy with his hands? Or was he just a good MMA fighter? I want to say he was a good MMA fighter, but it wasn't like he was a world-class striker. So,
I remember him having I remember him having pretty good striking, I thought. I mean, I remember when he fought, I remember when Aljo fought him, when Aljo was still on the come up during that run, and I remember we were both saying, like, damn, like, he outstruck Jimmy Rivera pretty much all three rounds. And that was pretty impressive at that time. You got to remember, because Jimmy Rivera was, I mean, maybe you're right, and his hands weren't that good. I remember him being pretty good in the striking. And, I mean, if he wasn't, he was damn good at something because, I mean, look at all his fights. He was a really big decision guy. I mean, if you're, I mean, he went on four wins by
knockout. Yeah, he had 4 wins by knockout, 2 wins by submission, and 17 wins by decision.
Yeah, I mean, he was on a 20-fight win streak in the UFC. Like, not every fight was in the UFC, but he was on a 20-fight win streak in MMA until losing to Marlon Moraes when Marlon Moraes was still Marlon Moraes, and he got KO'd in 33 seconds.
Yeah,
I think that's 30. I don't know if that's 4 minutes. I don't know how they read that, but yeah, I mean, it's each guy he lost to towards the end were all top notch guys,
Yeah, because I want to say that this
Sterling, Peter Yan, Munoz, like those are all solid guys.
Yeah, because I remember he was on our radar because we were like, man, where this guy come from? Because he was on such a long winning streak, and we was like, damn, look at Jimmy. And then I want to say he was supposed to get a title shot or something. And then he ended up losing to Marlon Moraes. And then he just started losing. He lost to Marlon Moraes. Then I want to say, according to this, he lost to Marlon Moraes. Then he beat Dodson. I want to say, did he beat Aljo or did he lose to Aljo? I want to say he lost to Aljamain, but I'm not sure. But, yeah, man, I just don't see why bare knuckle would be his way to go when he wasn't that good of a striker. You know what I'm saying? It looked like he was more of a technical fighter when you look at his record. More than saying that he was a striker or somebody that could win via knockout. Hey, man, I guess they must be paying good over there in that bare knuckle, man, because a lot of these MMA guys, they show running over there. We saw Luke Rockhold run over there, get his bag, and sat on his stool. I think I'm going to tune in for this one, bro. I want to see Eddie Alvarez and Mike Perry. Mike Perry has definitely found his calling with bare knuckle. I guess he's a ace in hole right now. So I'm definitely probably watch that fight. And, man, if this card holds up, this could possibly go down as maybe their biggest card because of what they have at the top with Perry, Alvarez, Rothwell, and if Jeremy Stephens and Jimmy Rivera work out. And then I want to say that's Beck Rollins, man, if I'm not mistaken. I want to say that's Beck Rollins, who used to be in the UFC also.
Yeah, so, I mean, this card is looking quite similar to – so, bare knuckle – BKFC 41, which ironically was in Colorado. I don't know if this was after
I left
or before that.
Yeah, after I
but,
left.
So this was in Colorado, and this was the card that made me a fan of bare knuckle. I haven't watched a bare knuckle event since because I haven't seen, like, I really wanted to watch these UFC guys on here. That was really what it was, and they just had such a fun. I just had such a fun time watching it. I mean, this will be a difficult card to top, but, I mean, it seems like with this card that they're putting on, they're trying to top this card, the BKFC 41, because, I mean, this one was star-studded. You had Mike Perry versus Luke Rockhold in the main event. Luke Rockhold shouldn't have never been in bare knuckle, but that's neither here nor there. You had Chad Mendes versus Eddie Alvarez, which really could be a main event. You had that in the co-main event. Then you had Christine Ferreira versus Beck Rawlings in the, you know, that's in the feature fight. And then you had Ben Rothwell in the next fight. So it was just the main card was really good, filled with a lot of UFC names I wanted to watch. And yeah, so I think this card that we're getting is, you know, them making taking another shot at this type of card, you know. So I definitely think this one that we're discussing is a good one for you to check out. I'm definitely going to be watching it.
Yeah, man. I think what they're doing, man, is you really can't get mad about the way they're going about attracting an audience, because they are using well-known names and basically coming from the UFC and basically the same kind of octagon kind of like setting. And the octagon that they fight in is not a normal boxing ring. I think it's a little bit smaller than the octagon, and they just go at it for what I think it's like 3-minute rounds or 4 minutes, something crazy. But the referee makes them engage. It ain't like you're gonna sit there and jab in a whole fight. From what I saw, the referee make the fighters engage. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I don't remember the fights. I mean, that I don't really remember. I don't really remember what to tell you about the referees, because I don't really remember seeing the referee, man. Like, bare knuckles, there's really almost no need for a referee. You pretty much, these dudes are throwing down. You don't really see any of that, you know, bullshit that you see, you know, in many of these other fights. These guys are not, I mean, I don't know if that's because of the way that the rules are or if it's because of how the refereeing is. I don't really remember even seeing the referee during these fights. So I don't really know. I couldn't tell you exactly, you know, here or there. But, you know, these are bangers. And I think the thing that, like, the last event that I watched, the thing that really separated it was, you know, a lot of these fights end in the first round. And I think, I mean, it makes sense because you have guys that are fighting in a phone booth and you're fighting with bare fists. You got guys with power, but they're also not great defensive fighters. You know what I'm saying? These are fighters that they're not necessarily like the most high level fighters. So I feel like, you know, you see a lot of knockouts because, you know, it's just not high level fighting. You just see a lot of knockouts. That's just my opinion. But then when you get up to what I thought was so fascinating is when you get to a Chad Mendes versus Eddie Alvarez, it becomes so entertaining because at this point now, you can see the difference in the level where those are two championship-level fighters in MMA. You know, Eddie's a former champion, Chad, you know, former title challenger and championship-level fighter for a long time. You know, so you can see the difference going from the caliber that bare knuckle has on most of their cards versus – or most of the undercard versus when some, you know, top-notch UFC guys or former top-notch UFC guys get in there. So when you watch Chad and Eddie, it's like, oh, my God, this is so good because you have them fighting bare knuckle and the risk is so high and the shots, you know, you can almost feel the pain of the shots because you know it's like these dudes, when they land big, but it's bare knuckle, bare fist. But they're also really defensive. They're really defensive. They're defensively good, you know. Like Chad and Eddie aren't just fighting in a phone booth. You don't see that like a lot of these other guys. They're not fighting in the phone booth. Those guys, they were fighting at distance. You were pretty much watching like a UFC-style fight, but with no gloves. That's pretty much what it looked like. And obviously without, you know, the MMA rules, you only have the stand-up. That's pretty much what it was, and it was like awesome stuff to watch, man. I'm looking forward to seeing Eddie go again with Mike Perry. I think that's going to be a banger. I'm interested to know what weight they're going to fight at, too. Aren't you thinking about that? What weight is this happening at?
It doesn't really say on the poster, like, what weight classes or anything that they're in. So, I don't know. But I think that will matter because I want to say Alvarez fought at, what, 145 when he was in the UFC? 145, 155?
Alvarez fought 155, and Chad fought at what division? Chad was at 145.
Okay. But Perry fought at
I think Perry fought at welterweight and middleweight.
Okay. So, yeah. But I have to ask you about this, man, before we jump into UFC 294. Did you see the tweet that came out 2 days ago about Max Holloway taking on Ilya Topuria? They said it's an early negotiation for UFC 297. Did you see that tweet?
Yeah, I actually did see it.
What's your thoughts, bro? I don't like this for Topuria, but maybe you can make sense of this for me. What was your thoughts when you saw it?
I would say, I mean, I'm really not surprised. I think a lot of us could see this fight a mile away. I mean, even once the zombie fight was booked, you could kind of tell that, you know, that fight was going to happen eventually. And it's just Max, I mean, Topuria was supposed to fight Volkanovski, like, on the other side. You know, he's supposed to be next for the title, and then no one expected Volkanovski to step in for the lightweight title fight in Abu Dhabi on Saturday. So that kind of shook things up last minute. And I'll say this. I mean, it's a cool fight, but I really want to see Max at 155, man. I'm kind of 50-50 on the fight. Like, yeah, it's a cool fight, but I just don't like this, you know, like, gatekeeper style that they're giving to Max Holloway now. It's like, he's not the gatekeeper, man. Like, it's not – you got to be putting him in big fights, man. Like, he should be on the head of the fucking marquee, bro. He should be pay-per-view. Like, they don't even market him that way. They're putting him – what are they going to put him on? Some random big card or some shit? Like, I'm surprised they're even putting him on a pay-per-view.
They're saying UFC 297, but – you gotta,
I'm
you
shocked.
Gotta say that. This
When's
is
the last time before that? You
gotta
he
say,
was even on a pay-per-view.
Yeah, because if you look at this, if this 297, then it's not going to be the main event. I don't think it's going to be the main event.
Not.
It has to be the call.
I can see that
yeah,
being
so
like a main card, either like feature fight
yeah.
or like a. It's just it's weird.
I think
bro,
it's
going to
be the
really
co-main.
When's the last time we have seen – okay, so this is what I think will probably happen if we're going to do this, bro. Because when's the last time we have seen Max Holloway fight on a pay-per-view in a three-round fight? What is that, like 2015 was the last time we saw that?
Man, it's been a long time.
It's been a long time. You know what I mean? He's been fighting in basically either title fights or – three rounds on a fight night. You don't see, you know, which is even weird. I don't even know why we even did that, which I'm kind of lost on that. It's just so lame the way they treat Holloway, bro. I don't know what is going on with that. But, I think we saw him three rounds versus Yair Rodriguez, which was just weird. And just all of it was weird. Three rounds on a pay-per-view. What's that, 2016? I mean, I think if they're going to do it, if you're going to put Max on a pay-per-view, bro, I can't even fathom him fighting three rounds, bro. You, and I know you're not going to like this, but if they're going to have him fight 155 versus Topuria, you got to put the interim belt on it. You got to.
See, now you're waking me up. Now you're waking me up. I like the sound of that. I like the sound of the winner being an interim champion, although we normally don't support.
I thought you weren't going to like it.
But see, you woke me up with that one. So normally, me and Keys are definitely not into you know, the interim championship thing. That just doesn't fly with us. But the Yair Rodriguez fight was a five-round fight. It did go five rounds. I want to say the last time Max was not involved in a five-round fight was Ricardo Lamas back in 2016. All the rest of his fights have been five-round fights because basically he's been in championship fights or main event fights since he took the belt off Pettis in 2016. He's been in five-round fights, bro. So, yeah, it is kind of weird for him not to be in the five-rounder. But now that you done woke me up to the winner being an interim champion, I could buy that as a fight. But to me, Topuria has everything to lose. Why wouldn't you just wait on Volkanovski? You know you next in line for that championship. If you lose the Max, there's no way they're going to put you in a championship fight against But you know what? They might because everybody else in the top 10 has lost to Holloway and Volkanovski except him. He would possibly be next in line for Volkanovski because everybody else has lost to him. So I guess this isn't a win-lose, or I guess this is kind of a win-win for him. If he beats Max Holloway, that's even better. But if he loses to Max Holloway, he's probably still in line for a title fight. But if they do it for the interim belt, that's even better. That gives me a little bit more interest to be look forward to that fight. But I just didn't like it for Topuria. But let's see what happens, man. But moving on to this weekend's card, Keys, we got two different – we got a thing we got to bring up before we jump into our fight breakdowns and our predictions. There was a little video of Usman wrestling and grappling with Justin Gaethje. And if you looked on Twitter, somebody said that Usman came up lame or was limping or shaking his leg out. And that he said he felt something pop. Are we worried about Usman going into Saturday? Or do we think this is just something that somebody may have thought they heard and just put it on Twitter, you know? Or do we think this is a real deal and should be cause for concern for Usman going into the fight?
I mean, Usman's a pretty, you know, he's kind of an injury-prone dude. He gets injured a lot, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's true. But I'm personally just going to go in and just think of it as if that was just some rumor. And I mean, because people said that about Adesanya. I mean, I know he did go on to lose to Strickland, but I don't think Adesanya was injured. I mean, I don't know if anything's come out to say that he was. But, I mean, people always speculate. What I'm saying is, people always speculate that like dudes are injured because of like the way they are looking in the workout or the way their chest looks or, you know, the way he did this thing or in sparring, he was only using his left hand. Like people just always speculate like injuries and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm going to go in thinking that he's fully healthy and we'll just see how we go. You know what I mean?
Don't worry, bro. I'm worried, man. Being that he's definitely taking this fight on super short notice, probably had a serious, or I ain't gonna say a serious weight cut, but, you know, he probably has been trying to get the pounds off. And, you know, and with his injury history, bro, I'm worried. Now, I think even if he's hurt, I think he's still going to get in there Saturday and do his thing. But a compromised Usman should not be fighting Khamzat because Khamzat will make him look bad. And the last time we seen a fighter go into a fight that was injured was TJ Dillashaw and Lord have mercy. did he ever look bad. And, hey, it's I'm praying that Usman is healthy. I'm praying that maybe he just tweaked something that it ain't that bad. But, bro, whew, please let this fight happen, man. Please let both guys be 100% because I don't think we need any excuses for any of these guys in the main co-main event because we definitely want to see these guys at their best going against each other. But jumping into UFC 294 this weekend, Keys, I need your honest opinion on the overall card itself. When you look at the fights, when you look at the matchups, how do you feel about the card? You can rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. And, you know, because I just don't, I'm not feeling the card, bro. I'm just going to say that. I'm not feeling the card. Definitely as a pay-per-view card. There's just not enough good fights on the card for me. Or maybe some of these fighters I just don't know. And normally cards like this where you don't know a lot of guys and girls, normally they end up being bangers. But I'm just not feeling this card, bro. So on a scale of 1 to 10, in my opinion, I'll probably give it probably a 5 because of 4 fights. The main event, co-main event, Johnny Walker and Ankalaev and then Tim Elliott. That's probably why I would give it a 5 because of those 5 fights or 4 fights. But outside of that, I'm not feeling this card, bro.
I really like this card. I give this card an 8 out of 10. I'm actually really disappointed that I'm not barely even going to be able to watch it. Unfortunately, you know, I have a family party to go to, which I literally got into an argument with my sister about it, that she planned the party at the same time as UFC 294, but we got into an argument. And when she said she was going to plan it for the same day in the afternoon, I was like, do you have to do it on that date? And, like, she got all mad at me, and we, like, basically had an argument. And honestly, I'm going to put it on record, and this is fine. I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad. I really don't. UFC is my shit. This is my fucking one thing. Oh, I have one pay-per-view a month. One pay-per-view a month, right? This is debatably my favorite thing in life, okay? It does so much to me to watch a UFC card. It does so much to me to watch UFC card. It really is. Like, it's deeper than just watching your sports or you know, what people would look at it like. It's not that way. So it goes miles for me to watch a UFC card. And it's one day a month that I want to watch my pay-per-view. Obviously, I watch almost every card, but at least that one, I'm okay with, like, not being able to watch a fight night, but one night a month, I put everything else aside and I'm watching that damn pay-per-view and it is what it was, but I rate the card an 8 out of 10 and I'll tell you this. So the early prelims, you got this guy, Shahram Magomedov, who is, I think he is a Bellator guy. It's interesting. He's 11-0. I think he's a Dagestani. His last name is Magomedov, but get this, he's actually a striker. He does not wrestle. He does not do sambo. He's actually a striking style, and he looks like he has a lazy eye. That's a guy to watch out for. He's fighting. He's supposed to be really good. He's fighting Bruno Silva, who's a super solid guy. Like Bruno Silva, going to fight in the first fight of the card. Victoria Dudakova, 7-0 undefeated. That's another one. Nathaniel Woods fighting Neymar. Nathaniel Woods puts on bangers. Mike Breeden and Jubilee, I don't know those two guys really. Imamov got canceled. Abu versus Dumas, he looked like 21 Savage, so that's lit. Shout out to 21 Savage. Basharat is one of Basharat.
Did you say because he looked like 21 Savage is going to be lit?
Yeah, bro.
Okay.
It's lit, bro. You better quote that on our channel. You know how I'm always putting the quotes out. You better quote me on that for our channel. Okay, so
oh,
then
man.
We got Shout out to, you know, you do mouse look like 21 Savage, bro. I know he knows that. He's probably his cousin. So that's lit. Basharat Brothers, the Basharat Bass Bros, man, 14-0. I'm looking forward to it. That's a banger. Yaya versus Trevor Peak. I don't really know those blokes. Tim Elliott and Muhammad Makhachev, 10-0. Makhachev, Tim Elliott puts on bangers. I love to watch him fight. That's a banger fight. Iskram Miliskrov's on the come up guy at middleweight. So he's pretty much a savage, but he just hasn't fought big fights. He was supposed to get a big fight, but now, you know, he was supposed to fight Paul Cousin. Now he's fighting Wally Alves. So let's see. But Iskram's is a beast. And we got Saeed Nurmagomedov, you know, another savage. I don't know the dude he's fighting, but I like watching Saeed Nurmagomedov. And then Magomed Ankalaev versus Johnny Walker. I think that's a savage fight. Johnny Walker's looked like an absolute beast lately. Ankalaev had a split draw with our boy Bukovic and probably one of the saddest UFC title fights in UFC history. And they both should have taken an L on their record for that fight because it was terrible. But, yeah, it is what it was. And Ankalaev, you know, you look like an extra out of the Borat movie, bro. And Kamaru Usman versus Chimaev short notice. I was so excited when I saw Chimaev versus Usman short notice. Even though it's short notice, I love King Usman. He's one of my favorite guys. I love to see him get in there, even if he's hurt, even if he, you know, gets smashed by Chimaev. I'm just excited because it's just a really big fight that I'm loving that I'm getting to see it. And I think it's a way better fight than Chimaev versus Costa. I think full camp Costa, and y'all can call this a hot take, and I will debate you about it, is that Paulo Costa on a full camp is not – Kamaru Usman is leagues better than Paulo – 11 days notice, Kamaru Usman is leagues better than full camp Paulo Costa. I totally believe that, too. So for that reason, it has to be a better fight because there's no way. Usman is leagues better on 11 days. He would be leagues better on 2 days notice. He would be leagues better on 2 days. He could fight 24 hours notice. As long as he can make weight, he's leagues better than Costa on a full camp because Costa's not that good. And we've been saying that. Y'all didn't want to believe it. And he pulled out of another fight, so it is what it is. And then secondly, Islam versus Volkanovski. I think this is more competitive than Islam versus Oliveira. So what you want to do? We ripping predictions real quick? Well, I'm going to rip through. I'll give you all my predictions right now. Here we go for the culture. Here we go. So
hold on. Let me see. Hold on.
I'm about to read them off. Just hold on.
All right, go ahead.
Go off this. Ready? Saeed Nurmagomedov is going to smash this guy to pieces. Devastation. You know, first two rounds, devastation. Ikram Liskarov versus Wally Alves. I do want to point out Wally Alves is I'm pretty sure Wally Alves is the guy that beat Colby Covington, which is kind of a wild fun fact to pull out of the vault. I'm pretty sure this is the guy that beat him. It was either that or he beat Usman. This guy is one of the guys that beat one of those two guys. I think he beat Colby Covington. I think that's what it was. I'm going to look up the shirt dog. Yeah, he has a win over either Usman or Covington, which is mind-blowing. So if we don't know who he is, we know that about him. You know, that's when I see his name, I think of that.
He beat Covington, lost to Usman.
Okay, so he has a win over Colby Covington. So Wally Alves is somebody just off that fact. But Liskarov smashes him to pieces first two rounds. Ankalaev, now this is where I'm going to start to switch gears on y'all. Ankalaev versus Johnny Walker. I'm taking Johnny Walker, bro. I think Johnny Walker's been going savage. We're going with the big underdog. I don't think Ankalaev is good, and I've taken him to win most of his fights. But based off of their last performance, I think Johnny Walker can get him, bro. I think Johnny Walker's become more diverse, and I think he has enough tools now at this point that he can beat Ankalaev. And especially if Ankalaev thinks he's just going to stand in front of Johnny Walker, I think he's going to lose, man. I think he's going to lose. And yeah, I'm going Johnny Walker. I think I'm going Johnny Walker unanimous decision, bro. That's in a big upset. First big upset of the night. Usman versus Chimaev.
Tough fight. Tough fight to pick.
this is tough because I feel like Usman, you know, y'all say me going the speed round. I was going the speed round, but I got to slow up. Usman has all the tools to match Chimaev. That's the problem that I have here, is that Usman on 11 days is very dangerous still. We saw him fight short notice for Jorge Masvidal on, like, you know, 5 minutes notice or whatever that was. So he's very capable, and he's one of the best in the world, even when he gets KO'd by Leon Edwards. He's still one of the best in the world. Usman has all the tools to match Chimaev, and he's going to have the better gas tank. It is only a three – I don't know. Is this a three-round fight or a five-round fight? I don't know. But if this is a three-round fight, I mean, either way, Usman's going to have the better cardio. So it really depends. If Chimaev can't take him down, he's going to have problems. I think he's going to have serious problems. If he can't take Usman down and shoot out of the cannon and get him out of there in round one, I think we will see problems for Chimaev. And honestly, I'm going to go again. Another upset, bro. I think King Usman's going to give Chimaev his first loss, bro. I think so. I think King Usman is going to win by unanimous decision and shock the world, to then go and challenge Sean Strickland for the middleweight title in a complete shocker of a title fight. Who would have thought? And that will be, you know, sometime in Q1, Q2, 2024, in crazy craziness. All right, and then Islam versus the Volcano. I want to go with upset here and say Volkanovski, but I just don't see it, man. I just don't see how he can do it. 11 days versus Islam is tough. I mean, they could say 11 days versus Chimaev is tough, but Chimaev also doesn't have the gas tank like Islam. Like, Islam can fight for 25 minutes, you know what I'm saying? And I just feel like Islam isn't like that shoot out of a cannon style. Like, he's not really like a guy that, you know, looks great in the early rounds and then doesn't look as great in the later rounds. We saw Chimaev versus Gilbert Burns. Like, Chimaev looked human versus Gilbert Burns, and we told y'all he would. So, man, I just don't see how Volkanovski can get it done. I want to pick him to win, but I also want to make the right pick, see how he beats Islam, man. I think, and still, I think Volkanovski, this is just, this is too hot, too steep of a mountain to climb, man. I think Islam, I don't know, man. I don't think he finishes him. I think Islam will take a unanimous decision, bro. And so.
All right. I'm going to give my lightning picks, too. I like Saeed Nurmagomedov with a first-round submission. I think Alaskarov beats Warlyov. I'm gonna say he probably a unanimous decision. I like Johnny Walker with a second round knockout of Ankalov. If Usman, I want to go with Usman, man, but that tweet really has me worried. Oh, man, I hate to pick against Usman, man. I'm going to stick with my gut, man. And I'm going to say Usman wins this fight by split decision. But, man, I'm questioning that knee injury, dog. And I'm going with the upset. I'm going with Volkanovski beating the Islam. I think the one thing Volkanovski has to do, my man Keys went back and did a breakdown of the first fight. Volkanovski started off slow in the first fight. He can't start off slow. If you watch the first fight, Islam dominated the first two rounds. To me, he dominated the first two rounds. Volkanovski started coming around in the third, in the middle of the third, you know. But he has to start off fast. He has to be the aggressor. He has to make Islam fight off of his back foot. He has to make Islam use wrestling as a defense, not as offense. And if Volkanovski can do that, he will win this fight. I'm going with Volkanovski to pull the upset and be a champ champ, although I don't like champ champs these days because they hold up two divisions, and me and Keys, we want to see our champions defend. And when you're a champ champ, you hold up two divisions. So I got Volkanovski, man. I got Volkanovski winning a split decision in a close fight. although I don't think the judges would give him a decision in Abu Dhabi. But I'm picking Volkanovski, man, with reservations. I think we'll look at the fight objectively, and we'll break it down when we do our show next Wednesday. Saturday I shouldn't be busy because this starts at 2 o'clock. Yeah, so I will probably do a round by round breakdown for the main and co-main events on Twitter under Leah Keys Real Talk Saturday. But you know, great show tonight. We talked about a lot. We talked about bare knuckle fighting. We talked about we talked about Logan Paul versus Dylan Danis and KSI versus Tommy Fury. We talked about the Usman, you know, possible injury. And we talked about Max Holloway fighting Topuria 297. And then we just gave you our predictions for UFC 297. So, you know, follow us again at Leah Keys Real Talk, RT, on Twitter. Hey, Keys, you got any last words, bro?
Nah, I just want to say that when I rewatched the fight, it was 49-46 Islam. I think that, you know, the crowd and the commentary had a lot of us deluded watching that first fight, including myself. You know, it kind of throws you off. But, you know, I really tuned out the crowd and commentary when I watched it back. And I just paid attention to what my eyes could see, and I really didn't listen. But I'll tell you this, I could tell the commentary was very biased towards Volkanovski and saying, you know, how resilient he is, and look how he gets to his feet and all this. So I heard that, but I really, like, wasn't considering it while watching the rounds. And what I noticed was that even without the control time, Islam was winning the striking. I didn't see that the first time. He was winning the striking. He was beating Volkanovski at his own games those first four rounds. It was 10-9. And then the fifth round, I had Volkanovski 10-9. So that's 49-46. So Volkanovski's got to come much better than the last time, which I just don't know how he can do that on 11 days' notice. But, hey, would I love to see it? Yes, I would love to see it. Would I love to see Volkanovski smash Islam to pieces and become the lightweight champion? Yes, I would also love to see that as well. And then that would make history, and he would be one of the GOATs if he did do it. So shout out to Volkanovski. I'm rooting for you, bro. And secondly, take care.
I don't know, Keys. Because I'm looking at the stats, bro, from the first fight, man. And Islam threw 135 punches, only landed 95. Volkanovski threw 255 punches, landed 164. Significant strike, 70-57 in favor of Volkanovski.
Yeah, but you can't just go by the stats, though. You got to watch it. You got to watch it. Because, Islam was – you could see Islam was winning the striking.
I thought he looked lumped up at the end of the fight, but he did start off fast. I think he started off fast, and that was Volkanovski's downfall. He cannot let Islam be the aggressor.
Yeah, Volkanovski cannot like wait to like counterstrike Islam. Like Islam was throwing the first shot in most of those exchanges, and he was landing them. They were big shots. So that was the thing. I felt like Islam was landing the bigger shots. I guess that's what I would say. But and the reason was, it's not like I'm seeing Volkanovski land more punches. I didn't see it. I felt like I was seeing Islam land more punches. That was just what I – from watching it, that's what I saw. But also, they were big shots. Islam was landing big shots the whole time. I really didn't see Volkanovski having moments on the feet. So – maybe the strikes were there, and I just didn't see them. But, I mean, I didn't. Based on me watching it closely, I thought Islam won in the striking those first four rounds. Yeah, so that is what it was. But regardless of it, take care of your mental health. Life is short. Love each other. And that's pretty much all I got. Thank y'all for listening.
All right. Everybody have a great weekend, man. Enjoy the fights. If you're going to be out drinking, drink responsibly. Don't drink and drive. Remember, this is an early start for UFC 294, 2 o'clock Eastern, being in Abu Dhabi. We'll be back next Wednesday to review the show, give you our thoughts, our breakdown, our analysis of the fights. And I think my man Keys hung up, but I was going to ask him a question. You know, I normally watch the fights with no sound. I normally watch the fights with no sound because I can't stand commentary anymore, because commentary is definitely biased and they make fighters watch a fight a certain way. So normally I have music on, you know, I don't do the sound thing no more, because commentary is deceptive to your watching. Like he just said, when you watch the first fight, they were very complimentary of Volkanovski, which gives the viewer the sense that Volkanovski is winning the fight. But what Keys just said, when he was watching the fight, he saw the fight a different way. I'm not telling you guys to, you know, watch the fight with no sound, but sometimes the commentary can sway the way you're watching the fight. Do you agree or disagree, Keys?
Yeah, I agree, but in the case of that fight, if I was swayed by, if anything, the commentary would have leaned me towards Volkanovski, because the commentary was all over. Yeah, but that so me having a 49-46 Islam was me tuning out the commentary, because if I was gonna go off that, I would have had Volkanovski winning, which I think is what, you know, I think that's why a lot of people in the building probably had Volkanovski, because they were feeling the energy of the crowd, which it was a very, obviously, you know, the home game. They were loving Volkanovski. And the people in the building probably had it if you were there, you know, or if you were watching and really listening to the commentary, you know, like me watching the first time. You thought Volkanovski, because the commentary was very pro-Volkanovski in that fight. But where I was tuning out the thing, I'll watch it again, mute, and we'll see what happens. But if anything, I'm going to probably lean towards Islam even more. Because if you look visually, he was winning the fight. But and sometimes it's the case of the guy can land more strikes, but was he landing the bigger strikes? Was he having the bigger moments on the feet? So sometimes it comes down to that. You can land more strikes, but it's not always about the how many strikes you landed, but, like, what kinds of strikes were you landing? Like, how significant were those strikes? You know what I'm saying? And not everything that's counted as a strike was that significant. If you're someone who's watching it and you're really closely watching it and you're looking at the by second by second in the fight. So yeah, I mean, it is what it is. But yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the way you said that, because now that I play the fight back in my head the first time, I actually have Volkanovski winning rounds 4 and 5. I thought he started to come around in round 3. But I had Islam winning round 3. I thought Volkanovski became more aggressive in round 4. I know he definitely won round 5, but that's because he was down. He knew he had to come out and make something happen, so he definitely had to be the aggressor in round 5. But I had him win the round 4. That's only because I think he got really active in the second half of the round. So if you either went either way in the first fight, I mean, it really don't matter. But, hey, everybody have a great weekend. You know, me and Keys will be back next Wednesday. We're going to have a lot to talk about this card. We'll tell you what we think should happen next for the winners, the losers. So have a great weekend. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. As always, we end the show with a peace.